in these songs that we're singing to you this morning. Father, how your love, it conquers all, Father. It's so faithful. It endures forever. It's boundless. And Father, that love was our saving grace. You dying on the cross and creating that way for us to have eternal life with you. And so, Father, I do pray that as we were singing this morning, these would not just be words that we sing just to sing, but these would be literally our anthem in life, that we would just truly turn back to you every step of the way, no matter what we're going through, and just praise you for who you are, because you are faithful, Father, and you don't let us down. So, Father, thank you for that, and just thank you for the opportunity to listen to our friend Dave this morning preach, and I just pray that you would bless him and the message this morning as he brings it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And at this time, the kids may be dismissed for junior church.
Good morning. It was great to hear as John just kind of read off the first little bit of that song and introduced what we believe, to hear the amen out there. Thank you. We do agree, and it goes very well with the message this morning as we deal with truth. Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 14. It's one quick, simple verse that we're going to just kind of unpack a little bit. Really only the middle of it, the word truth, as we unpack that this morning. But John chapter 14, verse 6 reads, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.'" Have you heard the latest lingo making its way around the streets? Let me break it down for you. If someone is called salty, it usually means they're feeling a little bit bitter and salty towards something or someone. Sweaty, on the other hand, refers to someone who's trying a little too hard to be cool. And slay is the ultimate compliment. If someone is slaying a look or a situation, they're totally killing it. But let's not forget about the newest addition to the dictionary. Bussin means something is totally delicious or amazing. Drip describes someone's style or fashion as being on point. Cracked is just another way of saying someone's really good at a video game. And sliving takes it one step further. It's a cross between slaying and living your best life. If someone is living rent-free in your head, they've got you obsessed with their every move. And if you need to let out some excitement, just eat something. But of course, not everything is sunshine and rainbows. Sus means someone or something seems suspicious or shady. And if someone is capping, well, they're just straight up lying. So let's all take a lesson in the best way to use these words and start slaying and bussing our way through life. Just don't be too sweaty about it. My kids are hanging their heads because I have almost no idea what I just read. We have a lot of fun around our table when these words come out, and I'm like, it is not what that word means. I was thinking this morning of maybe having someone over the age of 65 and someone under the age of 18, and giving them a word and letting them each give the definition of today for it. But it's not just our kids. It's not just the younger generation that has done that. When did hip become cool? And cool no longer referred to a temperature. And cool is pretty versatile. It can describe a temperature, an attitude, or even a color. It's the only word I know that can be used to describe a refreshing breeze and someone wearing their sunglasses indoors. And so it's just hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with our lingo. It's hard to keep up with what's going on in the world today. And if you don't like it, change the definition of the word or just make up some new words, and then all of a sudden you have your own truth. A phrase that we hear often right now, just make it your own truth. So this morning I want to define the word truth. What is truth? Where can we find it? And then how can we apply it to our lives? The Bible teaches that a time will come when no one wants to hear sound doctrine. Just tickle my ears. Don't give me correction. Don't instruct me in righteousness. Just tell me what I want to hear. And if I don't like it, I'll make up a word. I'll change the definition of a word. And then it will become my truth. And so it's very hard in our world to know what the real truth is. And so this morning, let's define that. What is true truth? Father, we thank you for our time this morning. I just pray that you will guide and direct in our thoughts as we look into your word. And as we just spend some time on this topic, I pray that you will just challenge us with your truth and that we can just have a little insight, because our world is crazy. And we live in a time when lying is normal. And so just help us to have a place that we can go to for truth. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So the definition of truth is the true or actual state of a matter. It's verified or indisputable. It's conformity to a fact or reality. It's exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus makes a claim here to be the truth. He's not just making a claim to speaking truth. He's not making a claim that he's sharing truth that was given to him, but he's making a claim that he is truth, a verified, indisputable fact. And so we're going to look at Jesus as we look at the definition of truth, because he claims to be truth. And so using Jesus as truth, because that's what he is, let's look at some attributes of truth. And the first one is truth is unchanging. It says there in the definition of truth that it's true in the past, it's true in the present, and it's true in the future. Jesus, in Hebrew 13, verse 8, Jesus is referred to as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is truth. Jesus is unchanging. Truth is unchanging, the same in the past, the present, and the future. And so we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And this is a hot topic in today's society. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, as Moses is writing it down and God is giving him that inspired word, Moses said, or God said through Moses, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then you jump 4,000 years later, Jesus is walking on the earth, and he pretty much quotes that passage in Matthew 19, verse 4. He's speaking to a group of people, and he says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them female, or made them male and female? 4,000 years, and it didn't change. Truth is truth, and if we bring that another 2,000 years to today, it's still the same, and it'll be that way tomorrow, and it'll be that way into the future. Truth is true. It was true in the past, it's true now, and it's true into the future. We can make up new words, we can change the definition of words, but it doesn't change the fact. Truth is true. The second thing is truth is factual, something that actually exists in reality. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4, the passage I referenced earlier when it talks about people wanting to have their ears tickled, it also says that they will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. A myth is not a fact, it's fiction. It might have its basis in some reality. We look at a lot of the myths or fairy tales that go on, and we know that there was some truth, there was a basis there, but if it is not 100% true, every little part of it 100% true, it's not true at all. And so people are wanting to turn toward myths and not deal in reality. Jesus is factual. He actually existed. In our world today, who remembers when the internet started? I believe they actually claim that its actual birth date is 1983. There's a lot of debate over to what that actually is. But as it grew in the 90s and then the early 2000s, the internet changed our world. The more access we had to it, it all of a sudden exploded, and there was the good of it and there's the bad of it. We are living in a time right now where we are going to watch the same thing happen with artificial intelligence. We are on the cusp, and it's, again, the birth of artificial intelligence can go back many years, but we are living in a time where we are going to watch crazy things happen. The kids have an app that they've downloaded. There's probably several of them, but one of them is called Dream. And you put in a couple of words, and it generates a picture for you. It's artificial intelligence. And at first, I thought it was kind of just like Google. You put in a couple of words, and then this program searches through the internet, finds a picture that fits your description, and it finds it and gives it to you. As I researched it, that's not true. You type in these words into this program, and it will generate a unique, one-of-a-kind picture that has never been made before. And it's amazing, the quality. It's not just some little cartoon picture. They are putting together these amazing pictures that you would never know wasn't some photographer taking a picture out in a park or something like that. It's amazing. That whole monologue that I just read to you, I typed in all of the cool, crazy teenage words, and it generated that monologue for me. I did not write that, but it's a unique paragraph that has never been written before. I just had to plug in a few words, give it a theme. So I said, I want my paragraph to be humorous, and I want it to be teenage lingo. And then it has to use bussin'. It has to use slay. It has to use sliving. And it did. It created that little monologue for me, and it did it in about 4 seconds. I didn't use it for the rest of the sermon. Only for the first paragraph. The rest of it is actually something I worked on. But it's amazing what artificial intelligence can do. And we are living in this world right now where we will have a harder and harder time trying to decipher fact from fiction. It used to be that when a college student would write a paper, the professor could take that paper, plug it into a program, and the program would then search the internet all over and could tell you how much of that program or how much of that paper was copywritten from, you know, other people. But now kids can plug in the information and they can tell it exactly. I need a 4-page essay on this topic, and it will crank it out, and it will be 100% unique, not copyright. It'll be original. And so now the professors have to have programs that search and work on the opposite end to know whether or not they used artificial intelligence to write this paper. It's harder and harder to tell fact from fiction. Truth is factual. Jesus is factual. Jesus is truth. And we can go to him when it comes time to understand the difference between fact or fiction. But it's getting harder and harder. The third point, the third characteristic of truth is verified and indisputable. We could have all kinds of fun with this. I thought of maybe trying to, you know, have somebody up here and do a trust fall, verify whether gravity works or not. Truth is verifiable. In John chapter 20, verse 26 through 29, it reads, "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see, yet believed." Jesus was seen. Jesus was verified. Jesus is undisputable. Truth is verified and indisputable. Jesus is truth. And in this world that we live in, where it's hard to know the difference between fact or fiction, Jesus is one that is fact. I have a coworker that dabbles in the digital cryptocurrency world, and he will sit there and try to explain to me what he's doing. It's one thing to try and picture this digital currency, but then he dabbles in this other imaginary world with, they're called NFTs. And he buys and sells these little, it's art, but it's not real. It's digital, but you pay for it with imaginary money. And he went even a little bit further, and he's trying to tell me all this, and it's amazing because for a while there, he was making insane money. He didn't want to do anything else. He just wanted to do this imaginary world stuff because he was making an incredible amount of money trading these imaginary trading cards. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like back when I'd buy a pack of hockey trading cards and we'd trade them. That's what he's doing, but it's all digital. It's all imaginary. So he bought land in what they call a sandbox, and he got to buy some imaginary dirt, and then he partnered with another guy who's going to build an imaginary house in this imaginary dirt, and they're going to sell it with imaginary money, but he can cash that imaginary money in for real money, and he was making piles of money doing this, and then all somebody has to do is get the goggles and put their AI goggles on, and then they can go and wander around in this imaginary house. It is crazy what is going on out there. We are living in a time where it is getting harder and harder and harder to tell the difference between fact or fiction. And people will start to live with their goggles on and never have to really leave their house anymore. And we almost don't have to now. All of my packages get delivered to my house. My groceries can now be delivered to my house. My takeout food can be delivered to my house. And if all I have to do is just put on a set of goggles, I can go live anywhere that I want to live in my imaginary world. It is becoming increasingly hard to figure out the difference between fact or fiction. But truth is factual. It's verified and it's indisputable. And in this age where we struggle to deal or figure that out, we can turn to Jesus because he is truth. He's verified and he is indisputable. I could spend a whole pile of time, many, many hours in sermons going through and proving the fact that Jesus is verified and indisputable, but that is a whole another sermon or eight. So where can we find truth? Jesus is the truth. We know that. He is verifiable, he's factual, and he's unchanging. Where do we go to find that truth? Well, we go to the same place that Jesus went to find that truth. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the time where Jesus was tempted. He went out into the wilderness. He spent 40 days out there. And the Holy Spirit had taken him out. He was fasting. And so at the end of that time, he was very, very hungry, very, very tired. And very, very vulnerable, or at least as vulnerable as Jesus could be. And that's when Satan came in to tempt him. He tempted him to turn rocks into bread because he was hungry. He tempted him to stand up on top of the highest point of the temple and jump off and test God. And he even tempted him with worship of someone other than God. Satan just wanted him to bow down in front of him. And every time Satan tempted Jesus, he said, "It is written." And he immediately went to God's word and he quoted scripture. And even when Satan quoted scripture wrong, Jesus quoted Scripture correctly. Matthew chapter 5, the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus quoted from the book of Exodus. Luke chapter 4, when he was preaching in his hometown of Nazareth, he quoted Isaiah. When he was confronting religious leaders, he quoted from several Old Testament books. And there are other times when he gave a tribute to John the Baptist, he quoted Scripture. His triumphal entry, the Passover, and even his words when he was hanging on the cross are quoted from Scripture. Jesus turned to God's Word. He turned to truth, and he found it in God's Word. Jesus, who is truth, Jesus, who is truth, also quoted the truth of God's Word. Again, I could spend a whole bunch of time this morning going through bibliology and explaining how the Bible is accurate and the provability of the Bible and how it's trustworthy. But again, another long sermon, and Pastor Craig went through a lot of that, the study of Christ, the study of the Bible, on this last Wednesday night series that he was doing. But we also have one other place that we can find truth, and that is God living within us. John chapter 14, in there, Jesus is talking, and he says, "I will give you a helper." In Acts chapter 2, we actually see that the helper was given to us when the Holy Spirit came and began indwelling believers. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. They are all equally God. Another really long sermon there. But you have the Holy Spirit. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You have God indwelling you. You have truth within you. Which again is just a great reassurance, as we sang this song this morning. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have truth within us. And there are a lot of times in today's world where we begin to question, and you'll get that little gut feeling, or you'll get the little your conscience or something will kind of be pricking you. That's just not quite right. Trust the Holy Spirit within you to guide and direct. So as we wrap it up, I was trying to be super quick this morning. As we wrap it up, how do we apply truth? A couple of quick things here as we close, because we live in a crazy, crazy world. Christy and I will constantly look at each other and be, can it get any weirder? Can our world that we live in get any weirder? And I say it will. I believe that we haven't seen anything yet. We live in a world where we expect, not just question, we expect that our politicians are lying to us. We expect that our politicians have a shady past. It's, you know, when all of a sudden something comes out about them, it's kind of like, well, yeah, they're a politician. What a strange world we live in when the people that are leading our country, we expect that they lie to us. We expect that they've done shady things to get where they're at in life. We live in a world where God's creation is being attacked in a stronger way than we have ever seen. We see biologists on TV that are questioning God, and scientists that are coming out. And how do we know? Like, here you have a credible scientist, a credible biologist, and they're saying, this is fact. How do we know what is true and what isn't? During the COVID times, the trendy phrase was misinformation. We had to dispel all of the misinformation that was out there. During the politics that are coming up, there's going to be a whole lot of fact-checking. As anytime a politician talks, they're going to fact-check them. Where do we go? How do we fact-check what's going on in the world? And that's through God's Word. And that's the Holy Spirit that lives within us. First, you need to trust His Word. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are trustworthy. Their words are trustworthy. And again, this last year, Pastor Craig did a whole series, and it's on the church website or YouTube, the church YouTube page, if you want to go back. And you can go through all of these things and learn about, the fact that God's Word is trustworthy. The second thing you need to do is read it. We can have a trustworthy manuscript, but if you are not spending time reading that trustworthy manuscript, you won't know what to do with it. You need to know His Word. You have to spend time in His Word, making sure that you are reading it so that you can tell the difference between what is fake and what is real. And third, you have to use it. Jesus didn't just know God's Word. He didn't just trust God's Word. But when the time came, He used God's Word. He quoted it. When He was tired and hungry, being tempted, He quoted God's Word. When He was being challenged by religious leaders, He quoted God's Word. When He was standing before Pilate and then hanging on the cross, He quoted God's Word. Before you use it, you have to trust it. And second, you have to read it. Because like Satan, many people out there will be taking God's Word and twisting it. It was just a little phrase here or a little thing there. Did God really say that you couldn't eat of the fruit? Just little things that sound right. I had it in my head. It's gone. God helps those who help themselves. Sounds really good, almost biblical, but it's not. How do we know? How do we get through fact from fiction? We need to make sure we're in God's Word, you trust God's Word, and make sure that you are using it correctly. We are living in a crazy time. Truth doesn't matter anymore. We can make up our own truth, which is not really truth at all. Jesus is truth. His Word is truth. And we need to make sure that we are going to the only source of true truth, God's Word. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you that we do have your Word that we can turn to and that we can open and that we can read. Father, I just pray that this morning was just a quick challenge to make sure that we are digging into your Word, that we are making sure that we are spending time reading it so that we can tell the difference between fact and fiction. Now we can tell what is true, what is false, and just help us navigate the craziness in our world today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.